Welcome to the Full Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:59 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is December 4th. We had a really rather important day today. There were two big events that are worthy of consideration. The first, of course, is that the US tax plan was passed in the early hours of Saturday morning. So that is a pivotal event. It means that it is almost certain now that we're going to have some form of tax cut or change to the tax code that has been hotly anticipated by markets being implemented sometime before the end of the year. Then the second piece of news, of course, is what's going on with Brexit, and that has not had nearly the same market event that of course people have been considering with tax cuts, because what happens with Brexit is not immediate, whereas what's happening with tax cuts is very much in the price. And it also had the capacity to almost completely overrule what's happening in terms of the Trump administration or the investigation into the Trump administration's relationship with Russia. And I'm posting an article today from the New York Times talking about Russian submarines trailing the path of subsea fiber optic cables. So you know, this is something that we see increasingly, that Russia, China, Iran, North Korea are continually pushing the boundaries of what is acceptable. And I guess the other way of thinking about it is that they are probing the periphery of what the West, NATO, the US military hegemony is willing to tolerate. That's, I think, a long-term consideration that we really should take some time to think about, but I'll confine that discussion perhaps to the Friday audio. When we look at markets, we can see from the Bloomberg that there is a sea of red, but that's not all. That's not the entire picture by any means. When, for example, we look at the Nasdaq, on the future it is down by about 84 points. The Nasdaq index is certainly not the one that is most overextended. The size of reactions has been comparatively shallow for much of the year, and so far this is still another reasonably shallow reaction. But what is under the surface of the index are a substantial number of large overextensions relative to the trend mean. So when we look at some of those that have got some of the widest overextensions, we come up with two types of share. The first is are those that have pulled back from accelerated advances, and they are obviously at the greatest risk of having a full-blown reversion back towards the mean as some of the hot air starts to come out of these really rather extreme advances that we've seen. And it isn't confined simply to US tech shares, but we're also seeing some of the Chinese tech shares coming under some pressure as well. On the other side of the coin, there are going to be those types of companies that benefit from the tax cuts, those that have got primarily US-based businesses. And Gap is an example of one of those. It's breaking up and out of an almost two-year base formation, and that is looking really quite positive. Michael Kors is also a share that has got a wide overextension relative to the trend mean, but it is worthy of consideration that it really did nothing at all for most of 2016 and 2017, and now it is doing better. When we look at a company like Costco, then it is extending its breakout to new all-time highs. Walmart, which has an increasing international footprint but is also a substantial domestic business, is pausing around that $100 level per share, but it has rallied rather spectacularly over the last month in order to get there on the anticipation that we were going to have a tax cut coming through. And of course what that is highlighting is that a lot of technology companies have already optimized for the most beneficial way to frame their liability to pay taxes in different countries, whereas largely domestic oriented businesses do not have that same opportunity. But when we look at, for example, the Russell 2000, then we have been treated to quite a bit of volatility over the last two sessions, that it recouped almost all of its decline on Friday, but then was not able to hold its advance in here today. The Dow Jones, which really did look like it was beginning to accelerate last week, was down on the day in here today, but not by an awful lot, or at least it was. It closed below its opening price today, but above the close that we saw on Friday. So it still looks like a 58-point advance, but this does look like an index that is liable to experience some pause and consolidation. And of course, we also have to begin to consider what is the outlook for some of the larger cap shares that represent the meat and butter of the ETF industry. Just about all ETFs own these types of large shares, but since the focus of these large shares is in the technology sector, and it is the technology sector is least likely to benefit most from the tax cuts, then we do have the potential for some pause and consolidation here. And that is most particularly the case for those that have rallied rather spectacularly, and Amazon is certainly one of those. Surged higher to over $1,200, and now we're getting some pause and consolidation. But this would not be the first time that Amazon has surged higher, and it certainly isn't the first time that it has paused either. This remains generally a reasonably consistent trend. The most consistent thing about it is that each of those ranges is one above another. So as long as Amazon's pullback is limited to something that is a reasonably shallow pullback and it goes sideways, then it'll still be a comparatively consistent trend. Now, I had a story in or a question from a subscriber in here today, and it was about the ETF holdings of gold. And I need to type in the correct ticker, so I'm rather failing to do that, so just bear with me for one moment. I'm afraid I can't talk and chew gum. Well, it's ETFGTOTL. There we are. And what's interesting about it is that not only has it held on to the vast majority of that big advance we saw in 2016, much more impressively, in fact, than the gold price has, but that it is now pushing the upper side of that range once more, suggesting that there is investment demand for gold. And the question, of course, is why isn't that translating into additional solid demand for the metal? Well, the metal is now has been ranging for over 2 months, and this is comparatively inert, particularly considering what gold is capable of. Gold is most particularly, I think, one of the more interesting things to own when it is surging. It does tend to have this jerky manner in which it trades. It tends to go sideways for a while, and then you get a big move up or down. Well, the range has been going sideways for 2 months, and we haven't had a range like that in over a year. And in fact, if you go back more than that, it's been quite a bit longer than a year that gold has traded in such a narrow range, only about $35. We know that ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and when it eventually breaks out, it's going to be an explosive move. That if it takes out the $1,300 area, well, then it's very likely to go right up to that $1,350 area. On the other hand, if it fails at this level, well, then the potential for a retest of $1,200 cannot be ruled out either. So we're at a very interesting juncture. And if we were simply looking at the ETF holdings, well, then we probably wouldn't have much to worry about. But the Indian rupee is appreciating, and because the Indian economy is doing well, then you're going to have people with more money, but they won't have the same impetus to buy a lot of gold when the currency is firm. It's usually when the currency is weak that people look for a safe haven, that they really want to own gold because they have no faith in the currency. But the rupee is firm, and in fact has been firm for most of the year. So while ETF holdings of gold is positive, the firmness of the rupee is not. And that contributes to this inert environment that we have in gold, that supply and demand are roughly in balance. When that changes, then we'll get a breakout, and the breakout will be powerful for the simple reason that it will be surprising because this range is rather boring relative to the trending phases. Since we're looking at the rupee, we probably should look at the Nifty, and it is still consolidating around that 10,000 level. And the Chinese market was reasonably steady in here today, but I think it is still pulling back, and that it really needs to demonstrate support in the region of the trend mean to confirm that we're still in this I think period of higher to lateral ranging. What we've also seen in the last couple of weeks is that isolated commodity plays tend to seem to be doing better, and Cameco is one of those. That it has broken back above its trend mean, and the uranium sector has been completely written off. But uranium prices are so low that Cameco has closed some of its flagship mines, and that's not something that a company enters into lightly. What it really does suggest is that uranium prices are back to the marginal cost of production. And if that's indeed the case, then prices are likely at an important low, and the most likely trajectory from here is upwards. And in the UK, you have the Geiger Counter Investment Trust, which is still trading at a fairly wide overextension relative, excuse me, a discount to the NAV, and has now rallied enough that it is looking increasingly likely that that 20p level is going to hold. But what I find particularly interesting is that when we look at the resources sector generally, that even the unweighted index of the CCI is influenced by what's happening with oil, and oil prices were a little bit weaker in here today. So we're continuing to see a little bit of resistance around the 65 area, and as long as the $60 area is holding, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. This continues to look like an impressive breakout. But the full implication of what the tax cuts are likely to mean is probably going to take a few days to peter through, considering that the final negotiation was done behind closed doors, and quite a bit of the amendments were handwritten onto the final document that was approved. Probably means that a lot of people haven't read it yet, and that is also contributing to this rotation that we're getting on the stock market, and to some additional volatility that we're getting in the commodity markets. And it's also filtering through into what we're seeing in the currency markets. The euro was pretty much unchanged in here today, finally, but we did have a little bit of volatility, whereas and the pound spent most of the day in positive territory, but then pretty much finished out the day relatively unchanged. So what this would suggest is that currency markets are saying that it's pretty much a wash in terms of what the likelihood is for big moves as a result of the tax changes. But where we will have changes is at the Fed. We know that there's going to be a new governor, and Dudley just over the weekend was saying, well, since we have the tax cuts, then we're going to have additional interest rate hikes. And I continue to think that the 5-year is the most important chart because it has got the clearest consistency in terms of the price action, or indeed the yield action. It is right at the upper side of this first step above the base, and a clear move above 2.25% is going to signal a return to supply dominance. The fact that the Fed is intent on raising interest rates represents a headwind for the bond markets because They have thrived in beyond the imaginations of just about anybody under the regime of incredibly loose monetary policy. Well, if we're getting pro-cyclical policies being adopted by the government, then the Federal Reserve does not want to participate in that, and they are taking away the punch bowl. So we're going to have some parts of the economy stimulated, but then it is going to represent a headwind for others. And the one sector that it benefits more than any other is the banking sector. They have really labored under the almost zero interest rate regime, and the potential for additional higher interest rates is really helping the S&P 500 banks index to do better, but also the regional banks index. And the regional banks was just about testing its highs in here today. It hasn't quite broken out yet, but that does look like it is more likely than not over the next few weeks, despite the fact that we have a short-term overbought condition right now. So I think if we take it all together, what we have is the potential for rotation. If we simply look at the long-term or the 10-year chart for any one of the major Wall Street indices, it's as plain as day that we have a short-term overbought condition, and it is looking increasingly likely that that will be unwound. And that's healthy, if that short-term overbought condition's getting unwound and that we get a pause of consolidation, that's definitely healthy. That if we were to see the price accelerate again at this stage, then that would begin to suggest that we're close to an ending. And I think a lot of people will be also watching what's happening with the VIX index, because it was really quite high on Friday and then pulled all the way back down again. But it was firming again towards the close, because that's when most of today's selling took place. And now we have an additional high here around that, well, just south of that 15 area. A move above that would suggest that we are into a more corrective phase generally. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.